What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
Are you intrigued by true paranormal stories? Do you crave tales of the strange, the dark, and the mysterious? Tune into our new podcast, Bump in the Night Chronicles, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Each episode dives into chilling paranormal phenomena and spine-tingling urban legends. From ghostly encounters to hair-raising myths, we explore the unknown. So if you're brave enough and not easily scared, subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for ad-free episodes.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is Doug Jones, and you are listening to the You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast.
Door creaks open, static on the screen. Pop that corn, cue the scream.
Hey guys, welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts, not just me. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
I'm Sammy.
And today we have a cool show for you. But first, actually, we have a terrible show for you. So I don't even know why you're listening.
Yeah, you should just turn it off
right now. Mm-hmm. No, we have a really cool show. But next weekend, if you guys are going to be in Palm Beach, this is my first time doing a show in Palm Beach. I'm going to be at the Palm Beach Tattoo and Odyssey Expo.
That's this weekend, not next weekend.
This coming up weekend, June 19th through the 21st. Mm-hmm. This will come out on Friday, so you guys have plenty of time to rush down there. We'll have my heart shirt with Billy and Stu. We will have my blade and my new blade shirt. A lot of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you're going... This is my first time at an Oddities show. So I'm actually a little excited. Mm-hmm. You know, you should tell them about all the move-in stuff. The thing gets so funny where they're like, you can't.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the email that he got about moving. I mean, all events send you a move-in email.
You know, they always tell you your booth, window out, things like that.
You can move in on X day. Move in starts at, you know, X time. Like 90s con is so big, they assign you a time to move in. But everybody sends you a move in email. This one, I don't know what you all did who previously attended this event to piss off these people, but they were like, there's going to be heavy police presence with canines. Do not, you know, do anything stupid or against the law, like smoking weed in the bathroom or in the event center or doing meth in the bathrooms.
Who does meth at that conventions.
That was so specific about the meth comment. I was just like, saying. Wow.
Do you think it's vendors or do you think it's people coming to the show?
No, but they were very clear. They basically literally said in there, don't do stupid shit.
When you first read me that, I honestly thought you were joking.
No.
And it says then that. I was looking at it and you were like, oh, no, you're not. Like, this
yeah,
is
it's really what it says.
It surprised me because this has been the first show to have been like, don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, all the events will tell you like basic things, right? Like I told you, move in times, all that, how many wristbands you got. Yeah. What kind of setup they're including, like pipe and drape, this table, number of no tables, no tables, chairs, how you get extra wristbands or vendor passes, the parking situation. But this one, I was like, no, they're telling you don't do drugs in the bathroom. Just FYI. Because I literally was talking to him and I was like, no, you can't do meth in the bathroom when you're there this weekend.
Well, you and I are so busy when we go to these shows. Mm-hmm. If you're doing or if you're talking to a vendor, mm-hmm. when do you have time to actually do meth?
I feel like I barely have time to go pee, let alone sit around in the bathroom and do something like that.
Maybe when you're peeing, you're doing meth at the same time.
But I feel like that would still take longer.
And then that, then you're
I don't
just
do meth, so I don't know.
Then you're just up, and then you mm-hmm. can do the whole weekend.
Maybe
in
that's
one,
why they
one
did
strive.
It. Yeah,
maybe.
Then they're like ready to go for the day.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it just takes a little bit.
I don't know.
So
many questions.
Yeah. So that was our first introduction. I'm surprised the people, the organizers still do this show. If that's
well,
a,
if there's
like,
too many of you all
time.
Doing drugs in the bathroom and getting arrested at the event, they may not come back. So don't
well,
do that.
Hopefully they don't shut this down. Please come and see me.
Yeah.
It will
do your drugs before you show up to the event.
Clearly, they please. Want you to be
or after.
Yeah. After probably.
After safer.
Don't drive intoxicated either with drugs or alcohol.
No.
That's our public service announcement for this episode.
Good point. Yes. Valid.
So mm-hmm. it's only gonna be me down there.
Yes.
So come and see me
this weekend in my real job. So
but the way you could support Limitless Broadcasting is by going to limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com mm-hmm. and purchasing all of our spooky shirts,
yes.
merchandise. You can even join our platform. Mm-hmm. You get podcasts. You get classic television shows. You get movies.
Mm-hmm.
We are constantly adding more and more programming to our offer.
Mm-hmm.
We have some cool new podcasts coming up. I don't know if you guys are into news, mm-hmm. but let me tell you about our news program. It's with Maya Sinclair. It's the Limitless News Coverage Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weekly podcast. She covers all the major stories from U.S. news to international news to mm-hmm. sports to media to everything. So if you're into news, that's mm-hmm. included in your subscription. If you want to get, you can find that show anywhere you get your podcasts. But for ad-free episode, you have to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Secrets Uncovered. We have a new episode coming out this weekend. So I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that episode will be released in full.
Yes.
So,
it's a different
kind of episode. But yes. So we're going to just mm-hmm. release that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get into this episode.
Yeah.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
We are covering The Backrooms, an A24 movie. Last weekend, we covered Obsessed, and that was a Blumhouse movie.
Mm-hmm.
A24 is their competitor. They're really kicking ass in the...
Yeah, A24 is busy.
You know, when I was putting Limitless Broadcasting together, I was visualizing companies, and I was like, I think we should be either a mixture of A24, Neon, and Blumhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they have their own streaming platforms, though. I think they just distribute.
Yeah,
but I wanted to incorporate the streaming aspect of things to mm-hmm. give you guys something special.
Right.
So that's why you should subscribe. A shameless plug.
Yes.
So yesterday night, we went out. We saw Backrooms.
Yeah.
Sammy had no idea what was it about or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
So what... we will get into her thoughts and everything, but what is the plot of it?
So this film is a psychological sci-fi horror movie that's based on the internet's famous creepypasta urban legend about an alternate reality consisting of an endless maze of empty, yellowed, fluorescent lit office spaces. In the movie, Clark, who's the furniture store owner and failed architect, accidentally finds this doorway in the store's basement that leads directly into this endless, unsettling dimension. He tries to explore it and survive it. He eventually drags in his therapist and coworkers into the crazy backrooms dimension. Unfortunately for them, there's a hidden, terrifying, distorted collection of entities. Yeah.
Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So, Backrooms originally came about on 4chan.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 4chan post.
Yeah.
From the author.
Mm-hmm. From the director.
From the director.
Yes.
He was actually sick. The director was like sick in bed and everything, and this was his way of expressing himself.
And he created viral YouTube like shorts, the Backrooms found footage.
Yeah, I think it's a series on YouTube.
Yeah, I believe it's actually an actual series.
So it went from the series to this, mm-hmm. and that's why this has been such a popular movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I knew about the Backrooms years ago.
Yeah,
probably when the
that doesn't surprise me.
Probably when the whole creepypasta came out, like the picture on 4chan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 4chan is still a visited.
I had no idea.
Site today.
I remember 4chan when we were like teens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I didn't go on 4chan. I just knew of it.
There are just a bunch of weird people on 4chan.
That's why I didn't go on 4chan.
So, I mean, I would stumble upon it. It's not like it was a thing I would always go to, but mm-hmm. I'd just be like, oh, okay. People would post weird stuff on there.
Yeah, that's why I didn't partake.
You know what? It's kind of like the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
How do you even get on the dark web?
I don't know.
You know, and it makes me think. I'm just like, how do these people actually know how to get onto this thing?
I know you have to do different
bit servers or Tor services. Torrent services to actually get on.
Okay.
But it's just like, it's confusing.
I don't know. My days of being internet savvy left me when I no longer was on MySpace. So
she used to be quite the coder on MySpace. Quite the coder. She used to be like, I want something here, and then she would code.
You know, everybody knew how to make their page unique and do music and make the colored graphics and everything. Everyone knew how to do that.
I wish my page was still up.
Yeah, I know. I was sad when I couldn't find mine anymore.
I mean, I tried to find mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember I had like 3 50-cent songs on there, like unedited songs like Disco Inferno. So mm-hmm. Disco Inferno. So like when you click on my page, they would all play at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get that to stop. But like some coworkers I used to work with saw my page mm-hmm. at the dealership I was working at. And they were like, oh, all the asses on your page. I was like, oops, yep, that's me. Because it was 50 cents. So it was Disco Inferno. So it was all the unedited stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising. So our casting characters, we've got Chiwetel Ejiofor, who is Clark, and he's the one that we just told you is the failed architect.
He's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he's a famous actor. And he worked or owned the furniture store.
I'm actually surprised that they were able to get him.
I mean, you never know.
He's done so many things.
If they're interested in the project.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's all it takes. And then we've got Renata Reinsva, and she is Dr. Mary Klein. So she's the therapist. And yeah, she gets drug into this entire thing by the end of the movie. We've got Mark Duplass as Phil, and he's the scientist that we see in the movie.
Okay.
In Async.
Okay.
And then finally, we have Finn Bennett as Bobby Franklin. Lukita Maxwell is Kat. And
wasn't she also on Shrinking?
Yeah.
She was on, she's
she
the daughter.
Did well in this movie.
On Shrinking. Yeah, she definitely didn't bode well on this
one. Yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen to her. And then
she definitely favors better on Shrinking.
Yeah, it's a much better outcome for her on Shrinking. And then we've got Robert Bobrowski, who is the, he plays the, like, Clark pirate monster thing.
You know, when I looked at that briefly, I was like, that's pretty much how people say my last name. And I'm just like, you know.
I get a lot of bye at the end.
Yeah.
Brooks bye.
Yeah.
Even when I say it to them right before I spell it. And I'm just like, yeah, that's it.
That's it. Yep.
Got it. I just said it, but it's okay. This is directed by Kane Parsons, and he's the one who did the concept. And then the screenwriter on here is Will Sudeik. Also, the producers, we've got A24, as you mentioned, James Wan via Atomic Monster, and Sean Levy via 21 Laps Entertainment. So lots of people involved to get this produced. And it was shot entirely in Vancouver, Canada in the summer of 2025 under the working title Effigy.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, as far as budget, we definitely have a bit more money for this one than we did last week for Obsession. This one has a $10 million budget. Still not a lot in the movie world.
No.
Right? Especially when you've got a big actor. It was your lead.
I'm assuming he took a lot of the budget.
He had to be pretty pricey. And then the fact that they built
the set,
like 30,000 square feet of back rooms.
And that's where the majority of the budget went.
You know, that's where the budget went. Yeah. There's no way it didn't. Because nothing else, you know, they did like her house, the therapist house, and then we saw. But the furniture store and all that. But I mean, like, you can tell where most of the money went.
Yeah,
yeah. Creepy back rooms.
I mean, you could basically just do the fronting of that, you mm-hmm. know, and get away with not having the back like they did the old Psycho house.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But you were telling me when we were researching for this that even the cast, or not the cast, but the crew
got lost
in there.
I would not.
Can you imagine doing this, like making the movie and be like, oh, I'm lost. I don't know how to get back.
I would be highly upset on this set.
We went to IKEA today, furniture shopping.
Oh, my God. It's the back rooms. It is.
It's just the back rooms. It just keeps going and going.
I know there's signs.
But no, they're not very well.
Well, also, you just feel like you read the sign and you're like, is this the exit? I don't think so.
I literally had to ask somebody and be like, where's the way out of this?
Go in the right direction, though, according to the sign.
I just wanted to make sure, but.
But yeah, I mean, I wanted to look at everything in IKEA, but you just.
Back rooms, IKEA.
It's very overwhelming, for one, to be in IKEA because there's so much stuff. And then, yeah, it just doesn't end. And then you finally get back to the beginning. And so you're like, let me go downstairs. And then there's even more to go through. Because now you go through all the like kitchen and lighting and decorative crap that you can pick up.
Yeah.
And then you go to the warehouse if you wanted to select your items.
It just keeps on going.
IKEA is literally the back room's nightmare. It really could be. So... as far as box office, right now it's sitting at $212 million globally.
Not a bad number. Not a bad number.
In North America is where it's made most of its money. It's $135 million, and international is $77 million. So it's definitely more of an American thing.
I could see that.
It seems like. And it has shattered records to become A24's highest grossing worldwide release of all time. And it opened to a monstrous 81 million domestic weekend, which is A24's largest weekend.
Good for them.
Opening weekend.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think A24 has fought for that position.
It was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, who do you think's better, A24 or Neon?
I like A24 movies better. Neon, they both make weird stuff.
Very much
not,
so.
Not even going to argue that case. But to me, I guess the weird stuff that A24 makes is less
weird.
Weird. Like, I feel like it could cross over to more mainstream like this one.
Yeah.
Maybe get better word of mouth. The neon stuff, sometimes I'm just like, it's a little too out there. I'm not interested in it. Or I don't understand what the movie is about from the trailer.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
But good job to A24. They, mm-hmm. I think they really deserve it. I do like that company. They started off independent. It was an independent media company. And then they sold shares.
Mm-hmm.
And then they raised a bunch of money. And then that's why they're how they are now.
Some big movies.
So they're making some big swings.
Cast members. Yeah.
I mean, I would say that they're a medium-sized production company. They're not a huge studio still.
But they get big
get big projects.
I mean, I believe that one of Anne Hathaway's movies that just came out was an A24.
Yeah.
I think the one where she's a singer.
Anne Hathaway has been busy this year, too.
What got up Anne Hathaway's butt? She just is like, I'm going to go out and make a movie to release every other week this summer.
She needed the paychecks.
I don't think she... There's no way Anne Hathaway needs paychecks.
But, I mean, especially after Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah. So I'm sure she got a hefty amount of money for that.
Or maybe she's one of those actresses that just likes to work.
I think she probably does. And she can pick her projects.
Yeah, she has enough weight that she can pick her projects.
Her and Robert Pattinson, too. I'm just like, what happened, Robert?
Yeah, he's in the Odyssey this year.
He's like, I'm going to go film everything. I'm just going to go work on every project.
He's in Catch a Predator.
Yeah, that one's coming out, I think, this fall.
So he's in the Odyssey. He's in the Batman. Yeah. He's in Catch a Predator.
He just had that movie with Zendaya.
We didn't make it to theater.
Sometimes it depends on the schedules. If we can make it out to see all the movies we want to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, yeah. So back to Backrooms. The director, Kane Parsons, he mentioned, you know, he did this, right, on 4chan. Right. And he's the youngest director in A24 history. He was 20 years old when he was hired on. But they recruited him. Like, everybody wanted him. Well, you know, I saw this. Like, a lot of studios were paying attention to him and what he was doing. And he, if I remember right, when I was reading about it, he also was a little like, I don't know if I really want to make a movie. Because, you know, he was doing his YouTube shorts. And there was one reference that maybe he thought it could be more like a graphic novel, which I could see.
Yeah, you get
for sure. This would fit well in a graphic novel. But, yeah, obviously...
I think the reason why I like cinema is because you could feel it. You feel like you're there.
Yeah, especially with this one. And Pirate Clark, the monster, who I told you is played by, let me get his name pronounced correctly, Robert Bobrovsky. So he is 7 feet 7 inches tall. Like, this man is actually
7 inches tall.
Yes, over 7 feet tall, and he's a real life Romanian basketball player.
I think he's known for being taller than Shaquille O'Neal.
I don't know, but he's a tall motherfucker. So they didn't have to like make him look massive. Obviously, they had to do the costuming because he looks fucking creepy. But I mean, as far as the height, they didn't have to obviously do much because he's ginormous. Yeah. And basically, well, I mean, we've kind of touched on this, but Backrooms and Obsession are kind of in a race right now to become like the indie horror movie of the year, right?
These are the two
as far as numbers and
breakout horror movies of this.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them are on a great trajectory.
Yeah.
And there are Gen Z directors. They both came from YouTube.
Mm-hmm. That's what's most interesting is they both are YouTube.
I just feel like Hollywood was dropping the ball, that they weren't producing enough original shows. But, you know, I understand it because this is where commerce and media come in. You don't want to invest in a project and not make your money back.
Yeah, you don't know if it'll,
you know,
fail or not.
These are low-budget horrors, and horror is more into doing, exploring these things.
Yeah.
You get more chances in the horror genre
than you do others.
Than the others, like doing comedies or romantic comedies and things like that.
And so this one, I think we kind of talked about this with Obsession. So Obsession really has grown week to week. it's become viral, right? Yes. Word of mouth. So for this movie, its box office numbers dropped 70% in its second weekend.
Really?
Yes, despite how well it's doing. So people are still seeing it, but it did drop. The question is, when you're like comparing the two, kind of, which is what people are doing.
Absolutely.
Because of the situation. Did the casual moviegoer, the person who's not into the lore or is into maybe horror movies in general, were they too confused by the concept of this? And that's why it's not picking up momentum. Whereas Obsession...
Word of very, mouth got
like,
it.
It's, I liked Obsession a lot. It was really well done. What are you looking at?
Lucifer's doing crazy stuff under the table.
No, he's just laying there now.
So
sorry, this is what happens when you film with dogs.
Yeah, our dogs are under the table.
But essentially, is this movie too weird? I guess is really what we're trying to decide. Because Obsession, I really liked it, but it's, you can follow it, right? The dude likes this other person.
Yeah, it's more relatable.
He likes this friend of his. He makes a wish, and it goes really poorly.
Yeah, it's him. More relatable. People, this it's one, a simple concept.
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I'm sitting there, and I like, you can ask him. He's like, do you understand what's happening? And I was like, no.
So
I don't have any idea what's going on in this movie.
So the thing about it is you're in the back rooms or an infinite amount of rooms. Happened on 4chan with just a picture. Mm-hmm. And people ran with it. And yeah, then eventually he made a series. But mm-hmm. It was just all these fluorescent rooms, infinite fluorescent rooms.
Yellow office type.
Yeah.
And but off.
Yeah, something's off about it. And like, then you would get the TV static, like you're listening to.
Because this took place in 1990. That's when this was supposed to take place. It was 1990. Right. So yeah, you can hear the fluorescence. They're very loud.
And you're just like, but when you move, the lore is when you're in the back rooms, you move room to room, but you have a monster chasing you.
Which you can hear. And if you can hear it, it knows you're
yeah. there. And so people yeah. say they've been to the back rooms. They've been there accidentally. So I wanted to see it because I know the lore. I was like, oh, it's going to be a very cool movie. I think that's how most people got involved in the movie. Mm-hmm. I can understand people being confused because when I was sitting there, even when you're not in the back rooms, the shots are off. There's the movie, something
yeah,
a little – I don't know if you know what they was shot on.
I mean, I can probably pull it up.
But when you're looking at it, you're just like – the picture is not as clear as it could be, or the framing is different. Like, you're just like, it could be a little better framed.
I told him that the movie made me uncomfortable. The way it was filmed.
And framed.
The back rooms themselves and the music, all of it just made me uncomfortable. All of it. I was uncomfortable like the whole like however long this movie was, like 2 hours.
So when you were watching Obsession, were you uncomfortable at all?
No, because I like it was like your typical horror uncomfortable, but this one I was just like unsettled. I was just like, I'm ready for us to be not in this area anymore.
So
it says it was shot on the Red Komodo cinema camera. Using Canon 8-64mm super 16mm zoom lenses to achieve a cropped sensor and servo-like quality.
You have to admit, they did a lot. They used a lot of zoom-in angles. You felt yeah. like you were pushed in on the person or mm-hmm. actor or actress. So yeah. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Komodo, that's a good camera.
And it says the world was mapped out digitally in Blender, I guess, to figure out. You know, exactly how they wanted it to look.
Okay.
And then they ran the clean digital footage for the VCR footage through the same VCR and distortion techniques used in the original shorts.
Okay.
For the scene shot from the character's perspective, the high-end Red camera was positioned just out of the frame while the actors carried prop cameras to mimic it.
Okay. I mean, it was very interesting on how they actually produced and shot this.
I didn't like it.
I mean, it was just very, like, creepy. It just, I mean, that's why they call it creepypasta. But mm-hmm. it just, you're watching it, and even when they're framing the outside, you're just like, it just could be a little clearer. You know something's off about it, but you can't put your finger on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the feeling you're supposed to get, you know? So as somebody that doesn't know creepypasta or read creepypasta.
I don't. Dan probably does.
What were your thoughts about this movie?
Like I said, it made me uncomfortable. And that's not to say it's a poor movie, like poorly done movie.
They had a lot of great actors and actresses in this movie.
It just, every shot and scene, whether you were, especially in the back rooms, obviously, it just gave me the creeps and the willies, and I didn't like it. And it was like a full fucking like 2 hours or whatever of this.
Yeah.
That you had to sit there. How long is this movie? Let's look this up. How long is Backrooms? What is the runtime for?
It was just an interesting movie altogether. You know?
An hour and 45 minutes.
So that's still a pretty good chunk of. Do you think the movie lagged at all? You thought it was boring at all?
No, I didn't think it was boring. It just made me uncomfortable.
Why did it make you uncomfortable?
Because it was creepy.
Was it just because of the sound? Because of the pictures?
The filming, the colors. I don't like the weird rooms. Especially when, you know, they go to nowhere. Or you're having to crawl up weird things. Or go through, like, little holes in the wall and you don't know where you are. It was well done. It made me feel like claustrophobic and lost and uncomfortable.
The hardest part for me is if I was part of the cast and I got lost in there, I'd be like, oh no,
I wouldn't like it.
Oh no. I mean, can you imagine stumbling upon this by yourself? You're in this by yourself and you're looking around being like, and you're like, hello. Number one, he's yelling, hello, is anybody there?
No.
I would keep my mouth shut. If I was in the back rooms, I wouldn't say a fucking word.
If you walk through a wall, that is not the time to yell out hello to anything in there.
No, I agree. It's time to just shut the fuck up and walk. See what you can see and then get out as quick as possible.
I don't understand. And this is typical. You don't have the movie if people don't do this. But to me, there is zero fucking chance that A, I'm staying in the furniture store with the lights being weird constantly and coming on and off.
So he owns the furniture store. So he was staying there because his wife kicked him out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you own a furniture store. Why not stay there, right? Mm-hmm. You already own the store. So his TV would flicker on and off at night, and then the lights would go haywire.
Yes.
But you learn that he had an electrician come out in the beginning, and they're like looking at his electric box, and they're like, what is this panel for?
Yeah, he's like red.
And it's like going to nowhere, switches. But you find out that's what's powering the back rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's number one. Number two, if I go through a wall or find a wall like that, I'm going to just leave. I'm not walking.
So you wouldn't have explored it.
No, I'm not walking in to the back rooms, and I'm certainly not walking as deep as I can get into the back rooms.
So you would have walked in and walked out.
And especially when he came across like that creepy Jesus looking fucking cutout that was talking in all sorts of languages. No, no, no. There's a dead bird. Nope. No. And then he hears something and runs away from it. And the next day is like, well, I'm going to go back. Like, there are multiple things that occurred that I'm just like, I would burn down the store and be like, I'm done with this.
I mean, the movie wasn't overly gory.
No.
There wasn't any really overly gory parts. It was
just a couple
things. It just felt like somebody was watching you through the movie.
Yeah. And then when he found like the memory people that he was talking about, and he showed the therapist at the end with like the fucked up faces.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like that.
That the back rooms imprinted on them, and somewhere out of the back rooms, this person exists.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of imprints, but something's different about them. They have multiple eyes. Their faces are weird. So at the end of the movie, the doctor that went in there, you see her
therapist.
Yeah, the therapist. You see her in the back rooms. But our conclusion is she got out. Mm-hmm. But the back rooms imprinted that she was in there. Mm-hmm. So that's why her imprint is still in the back rooms.
Yeah, so now there's like a...
a creepy version of
it. They say anyone who's entered the back rooms gets imprinted in there.
Yeah.
Basically.
So that means the scientists have to get imprinted on there.
I would assume, yeah, because if they're always in and out, yeah. And then... it's assumed too, but they don't explicitly explain it, but the lady with like the sideways face looking thing must be his wife.
Yes.
His ex-wife, because that's because he cuts her hair off to put on the therapist for the role playing. So it's gotta be her.
Right. No, absolutely.
And you know what really fucking bothered me too in this is when he's going on his tirade to the therapist and you can see her in the background. I was like, so did they just put a dummy up? No, that bitch was the fucking actress who played her. She just stood there.
Played the wife?
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually like the person who was, you know, obviously in the makeup or whatever. Like, she was actually back there. I thought, okay, so they put a dummy up, right? But no, if you really looked at it, you could see her swaying a little bit, like moving.
Oh, man, I missed that.
And then it really bothered me, too. Like, I don't even know what he was saying half the time because it was creeping me out so bad.
Were real people.
Yeah.
They were like, when he was eating.
Because I know in close-ups, you could see them, like, breathing and stuff, like the guy with the eyeballs that he cut up.
Yeah,
okay. Eat his fat or whatever.
Yeah, he was disgusting. Like, you can eat these, and he you ate the guy's
breathing.
Gut.
Yeah, you could see him.
I wonder if that's like cotton candy or something. He just was.
I don't know. She didn't taste it, so now we'll never know. I guess, but it was disgusting. But yeah, no, because I was like, they must have just put a dummy up of her, right?
Yeah.
And then I was really looking at it, and I was like, oh my god, no, that's like
that's her.
And then I think at that point he walked over to her to like. You know, cut her hair off or whatever, and you could see her moving a little bit. And then at that one point when she freaked out and ran, I did not like it. Mm-mm.
So, would you rewatch this movie?
No.
No?
No.
Because it made you uncomfortable?
Yes.
What would you rate this movie?
For how well it's done?
You personally, I mean, what would you rate this movie?
For like how well it's done, even though I don't really understand all of it. I mean, I would give it like a good 9 out of 10. For me wanting to ever see this movie again or be part of the backrooms, I would give it a 0. Because I don't like it.
Okay.
But I think it's a really well done movie.
Okay. No,
how
I
would you rate it?
I agree. It didn't drag. It kept my attention. I really wanted to see it off the previews. So I'd probably give it a 9.5.
Yeah.
Something high up there.
Ugh.
But again, I knew the lore. I knew what was going to go on. I wasn't sure if you knew anything about this. I just knew I wanted to see it.
I had no idea.
What were your thoughts? You were like, oh, Robbie's just dragging me to this backrooms movie.
I mean, I was like, I know it's a horror movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of some sort. So I was like, okay. You know, it's fine. And then just, I don't know. Like, it just bothered me from the jump. When he's in this big fucking building, I already don't like stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a giant building and then you stay there like overnight, that already gives me like the willies because you know something weird is going on.
Uh-huh.
And then the fact that when he went downstairs, he could see the light and he's just like, I'm just going to fucking walk into the No.
At least something happened in this movie, right?
Yes.
I kind of relate this movie to the Blair Witch Project,
mm-hmm.
but in the Blair Witch Project, you're in the woods, right?
Yeah.
But nothing really ever happens in that movie.
The Blair Witch Project, you're supposed to like use your imagination, right?
Yeah, right.
Like what's unseen is scarier than what's seen. And I don't know. I mean, the pirate monster in this is very creepy looking, and the fact that he's so tall.
Right.
You know, he was creepy, but he was a little cartoonish. Looking right. to
he was,
me.
He was the pirate, supposed to be.
Yeah. But I mean, like, to the point where I'm just like, you know, he's scary, but he's also kind of funny looking.
Right.
You know? So that made him, like, slightly less terrifying.
The therapist was, like, throwing some bows on him. He was, like, knocking his wooden leg down. I was like, okay, go, girl.
I mean, she was like, I'm not about to die with this fucking monster.
Right. Today's not the day, bro.
So, like, the back rooms, like, people create it, right? Because they also showed like the therapist creating a version of the back rooms,
right,
with her mother, house and her horrible
mother,
whatever, with her mom going insane and all that. And then he created the pirate monster that was living in there,
right,
and killing people,
right,
without knowing that he had created it.
Correct. That's why when it walked in the room, he was like, what are you doing in here?
So is that just part of the back rooms? Like, people add to it?
Yeah. Everybody like could add to it. That's why something. It's ever expanding.
But is it like, it's like your fears or your insecurities or yes. What is it?
It's okay. Your fears and insecurities working okay. against you. That's why you have them. Okay. Whatever you're afraid of, you'll have that chasing you in the back rooms.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I don't know what I'm most afraid of, but I just think that would be terrible to be in a situation.
What
where
if it was like a giant alien?
You know, when I was a kid, I used to be really nervous about being abducted.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you've had, because of times when you've woken me up being like weird as fuck, we were just like, oh, did you see that light out the window? That makes me feel like you wouldn't want to be like abducted by an alien.
Yeah, I do not want to be abducted by an alien.
For me, it would just have to be like a poltergeist. So that would be the worst thing, is it? Mine wouldn't even be something you could see. It would be like a fucking ghost.
Yeah.
And that would be 1,000 times worse in the back rooms.
I mean, Paranormal Activity was an independent movie. It was like 15,000 they shot it on.
And I know you can film shit like that with fishing line and stuff and make things move. And, you know, it's not like a hard concept, right?
Right.
I don't like it. I don't like when there's creepy dolls or things moving on their own. I don't care for it.
Well, clearly they did their job correctly.
I've never seen any Paranormal Activity movie.
You're not missing much.
I've heard that, which is fine with me because I don't like ghosts and like possessed objects.
I understand. I understand.
That weirds me out.
I get you.
Like, I've had reoccurring nightmares about like ghosts. So
you're not going to see her watching like Ghost Adventures or Taps or anything
like
that. I'll
watch Casper.
Casper.
And that's fine.
That would be a good shirt to do. Casper.
The Friendly Ghost. It's a 90s movie. You could do that for 90s con.
We are going to go to 90s con as well.
You know what? We should do Casper stuff. I do like Casper. I should do like Casper stickers and stuff. I like Casper.
I know we have an Evil Dead shirt coming. Mm-hmm. We got Tales from the Crypt. That's streaming on Shudder right now. But we're working on getting more classic horror movies.
What we will not be doing is back rooms, because I don't like it.
So
it makes
I liked it. It was a good movie.
It was.
I wanted to see it because I knew the lore. I'm glad I could drag her to go see it with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're into these kind of movies, go see it. I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
we were actually at a good theater. Well, theater is still the same, but we didn't have any knuckleheads ruining the experience.
I mean, I don't know what's happening to the right of us with their group. There were 3 of them, and the one kid, I say kid because I'm pretty sure he was maybe in his 20s.
Yeah.
If that. He seemed like he wanted to see the movie, but whoever came with him.
Certainly
one
did
of
not.
Them, no, I think one of them, I don't know if it was a friend or a brother. Who knows? We don't know these people.
Certainly intoxicated.
Is that what the issue was?
Yes.
Or did he have like a mental problem? I didn't know what the actual issue was.
If he was drunk, intoxicated.
Or if he was. I know is that the kid who seemed to have wanted to see the movie didn't get to finish it.
He walked out before the end.
And he seemed pretty pissed about that. And I heard him say, you can't take him anywhere. And I was like, you probably shouldn't have invited him. I don't know what happened, but I feel like you should go back and see it on your own, dude.
Yeah.
You really missed out on the whole experience. You guys didn't get there, you know, when
you
the movie
didn't get
started.
There. Yeah. You
and
missed.
Then you didn't see the ending. So whoever you are out there, I hope you get to go back by yourself and actually see the movie.
You know how people come in at the not the start of the movie, but they come in like during it? I couldn't do that. I would be like, we got to go back.
To me, it's like,
if you're not there at the start, you missed half the movie already.
I don't want to do that for any movie. But, I mean, at the very least, like, maybe if it's like a rom-com or something where you probably didn't miss much, right? Easy to follow plot.
Right.
But don't do it in this type of movie.
Right.
You need to see the whole
everything.
Thing. Yeah. But I agree. If I can't make it for the beginning of the movie, I'm not going to want to see it. And we've done that very rarely.
Yeah.
You know, it still sticks out in my mind trying to get to Disney Springs to see the movie. And if we're like, we can't be there to see the beginning, we're not going to.
We're just like, nah.
We're going to just
I almost killed it last night because I was like, oh, there's too many people in the movies. I mean, the phone is killing the movie theater.
It was not packed, but there were more people.
And we're trying to make it to see more matinee movies now.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and do earlier.
Because we're hoping that all the knuckleheads go to the later showings and not the matinee.
Yeah, so we'll do matinee for Closer and then maybe, you know, mixed up with like Disney Springs.
Yeah, Disney Springs, the problem with that is their movie theater and the parking sells out quick.
Yeah, because they're all the tourists.
And they're just like, you're trying to see Disclosure Day and it's all sold out. You're trying to see this movie and it's all sold out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find that sweet spot. And I think it's worth going to, if it's going to be a busy movie, then go to the dine-in because you can get like a more quiet, like off to the side spot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you can try and get like middle of the day, then do the Dolby Theater.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But it's hard.
I agree with you 100%.
There's too many people. I don't know what we're going to do for Toy Story. I'm telling you. It's going to be like a full game trying to figure it out because it's summer.
Yeah.
Which I know why Disney did it because obviously they want everyone to go, but that means there's no way to avoid children.
Yeah. That's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Because they talk during the theater and.
I get it. You're kids, you know, short attention spans. You're going to be excited to see Woody and Buzz and all that. But, you know, I'm old and I want to enjoy a movie I started watching 30 years ago when it originally came out.
So. All right, guys. Well, that is The Back Rooms. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think of it. Would you watch it again? Would you not watch it again? Did you understand it? Were you a fan of the YouTube series?
Or did you know about the 4chan or Reddit discussions?
Yes.
Yeah.
And please shop at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com. We have another show coming called Naughty Bits. It's Dr. Brian Parnes. He's an actual board-certified doctor. Mm-hmm. You can call in. I will have a number for you shortly. Mm-hmm. And you can be anonymous. You can say your real name. You don't even have to say a name. And you can ask him any question you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a urology question. It could be a general question. Mm-hmm. But you call in, and he's answering medical questions.
Yeah, very cool.
That's going to be for our subscription members only. So a lot of cool things are coming to limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
And we'll throw it out here now that we've made it this far into the month. Bear with us a little bit in the coming month or so because we're moving.
Yes, we are moving.
I don't think we officially announced that here. I did on the Pixie Dust Twins, but
we just got a house. So
yeah, and we have a home studio. So that means coordinating moving and getting the studio set up, and also moving and trying to still do episodes. So just bear with us a little bit. It's been a lot going on this year, and we're trying, but. It might be a bit of a struggle temporarily for us.
So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Remember, everybody's entitled to one good scare, and we will see you in the next episode.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Limitless Broadcasting Network. Check out our website for information about the hosts, merch, and all of our podcasts. Today's episode was produced by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby. Remember, the things you hear in the dark are usually just the beginning. Until next time, stay spooky.
Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and rant radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
We have 9/11. It kind of reminds me of when Pearl Harbor happened. Or because that was, the president knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened. And it was just an excuse for us to get into the war. Just well, like.
They knew that these planes were going to be hijacked well before they were hijacked.
Right. And people.
I'm not so sure.
The government that. And but they would get in trouble or they would get arrested if they tried to stop it.
Well, because they needed it.
Right.
And they're, you know, I personally. Could they have put those planes into the buildings? Absolutely. Do I believe the planes are what brought down the buildings? I do not. Do I think that there was something else added to these planes as they went in? Most likely. Or did they have, you know, directed energy strikes? Did they have missiles? Did they have bombs implanted in the planes as they were flown in? I think most of the passengers on these planes were incapacitated. There were reports. I can't remember which plane it was. This lady got a phone call out. And she said there was gas coming out of the vents. She was trying to call her husband, and she was talking about there was gas coming out of the vents and people were falling unconscious. So, wow.
We can I never find heard that. That.
You didn't hear about that one?
No, I did not hear about that. Tell me more about that.
That was covered on Alex Jones's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's the king of covering the 9/11 conspiracies and stuff.
It's hard to find these days.
I think a lot of the 9/11 stuff
has been scrubbed out.
Absolutely. Just looking up stuff for this episode, you find a lot of debunked conspiracy theories. You can't really find anything that actually shows you a spot for true conspiracy theories. It'll give you a list, but it'll tell you the debunked.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Looking up this, trying to figure out like what's A to B, when the president knew stuff, when he didn't know stuff, just how the buildings fell. Well, I was watching a video. Demolition. It was steel can't melt, and don't you remember
steel when can they said, melt, but not but at a not certain, at that temperature.
Not at that temperature. So at a certain temperature, it will melt. But like when the plane hit it and they were like, all this fuel helped it melt. That's not true. It's not hot enough.
But they said that it got hot enough to weaken the steel. Okay, I'll give you that. If it weakened with the winds, it doesn't matter how calm a day it is. The wind that those buildings have hitting it at all times.
Oh, for sure.
If it weakened, it would have collapsed like that.
Right.
And it would have taken out all kinds of people in the building. Right. It wouldn't have come down.
It's going to collapse to the side since people can't see you. So it's going to collapse to the side.
It wouldn't have pancaked like that. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have come like
straight down. It would have collapsed to the side.
Right. So I don't buy it. I never have. And what? Most of the people who have heard these stories or were around during it don't believe it either.
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can prove any theory. If you throw enough money at it and find the right people to scream about it, you can prove any side of your story.
Absolutely. And
I believe that they have just found, you know, quack scientists who say that, you know, the planes themselves were the ones that took down the buildings. You
right.
know what I mean? Like the jet fuel and the paper and cardboard, whatever else was inside there, was enough to bring down those buildings.
Right. Are you fighting with your dog?
I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is she trying to play with you?
While I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what my dogs try to do. So 9/11, what do you think their agenda was? Do you think it was overall the Patriot Act and then going into Baghdad?
I think it was a multi-faceted plan. I think that in order to get everybody on board with being able to do such a...
So you needed something to happen.
In order to do some kind of attack like that and to get people on... Because, I mean, we're talking about a domestic attack.
Right.
A very large domestic attack. We're not just talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about putting the Pentagon into it. And then the other plane that went over, what was it, Pennsylvania that went down?
Yeah, there were supposed to be like four planes.
Yep.
One went over Pennsylvania. One was going, and then they said a plane hit the Pentagon.
Yep.
But did you hear the reporter say, there's no plane here? There's right. nothing. There's no Somebody plane there. Live and on plus, air saying that.
The hole where the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon was too small.
Right.
Too small. There's no way that a Boeing 747 would have made it that small of an impact.
Right.
Plus, we're talking about DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You There's mean no restricted way. Airfields there are in DC?
Do you if know you how come within a certain amount of miles, they'll shoot you down, regardless if you're a commercial airline or not.
Right.
You're getting shot down.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me a commercial plane made it that far without fighter jets being scrambled and being right alongside that thing and taking it down if they had to? No. Give me a
somebody,
break.
Somebody should have known about this. Like you
Everybody
can't
knew about it. We're talking about radar.
Right.
Just radar. Just primitive radar. Why, picked up why that damn plane when it was 300-400 miles away from it. They knew the trajectory it was on. They knew exactly where it was going.
Why do you think they didn't do that? Why did scramble jets and shot it down?
They did. I'm sure they did. That plane didn't hit the Pentagon. They used that as a distraction.
As a distraction for something else.
And had a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. That's the only thing that could have moved fast enough and create that kind of damage and get past our defenses and do the damage it did to the Pentagon. They used a smart bomb, a smart missile that went in there and just, boom, took it out. That was it.
Do you remember right after 9/11, any cameras, like any buildings, like if you're a 7-Eleven and you had a camera facing in there,
it's all confiscated.
Yeah, they went in there and confiscated all the video right after the attack.
Right.
And they did it to every store.
Yes, they did.
Why would they do that? Because they want something covered up.
They're afraid of what people might see or what might get released. And that during that time period, you know, our technology wasn't what it is. There was no way to instantly share it.
Right.
Today, you could there's no way you could get away with
Facebook.
That. Right.
What was the poppin' social media platform back then? I don't even think we had one yet.
MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Yeah. But I don't even think people were sharing this on MySpace.
No, there really wasn't much. Nobody was doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, your cell phones, we still had, you know, one button scroll through your letters on top of the number to try and send a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a different time period.
It's been confirmed that MySpace was the key social media back in those days. So thank you for the confirmation, Samantha. So I got a text. She was like, oh, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So can you imagine being in the building at this time? And like the people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like hopping out of the windows. What do you think their last thought was? Like, I'm going
to
die
one way or another. I'm going to die. So I'm going to go at my hands. Either I'm going to burn alive or I'm going to.
I'm assuming that's why people jumped.
Yep.
Because the fire was so. So it went into like the first plane got hit like the 52nd floor or the 60th floor. And the other plane hit like.
Well, see, the 25th
floor.
I don't. There wasn't really fire. You can watch any videos of that at all. You see some smoke,
right?
Because there is a little bit, but it's not like it was a roaring, you know, fire that was stopping people from getting out. Those planes hit stairwells. They hit elevators and stairwells. They block off those damn they blocked off the exit, so all those people were trapped.
Right. So before the actual attacks happened, I hear they were working on the elevators with armed guards around them, like days before it happened. And people are like, that's weird. Why do these technicians need all these armed guards around them? Why are they working?
So they could disable all the methods of escape for all these people.
Right.
You know, you can take down a building, but if you know, it's a tragedy if the building goes down, but it is a true disaster if the loss of human life is enormous.
Right.
You know, and what that's why
they want as much loss of life that day. Almost 3,000 people were killed.
Human life means nothing to these people.
Absolutely not. Nothing. We're both expendable. Highly expendable.
It's not just us both. It's everybody on this planet. There are the haves and then there are the have-nots. They believe that they are entitled to everything, and we are the serfs. You know, we are the ones that if you know that expression, in order to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. We're their eggs, and they don't care how many eggs they break. I mean, they just don't. That's where human resources comes from. You know,
right.
We're just a resource.
Right.
You know, we're the dumb breeders. You know what I mean? So,
right. Right. No,
that's the way they look at us.
People in the building on 9/11, the people that got out, they kept saying they heard pops, pop, 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 pop.
Uh-huh.
Before like big explosions happen.
Yeah. It's the explosions. It was the explosives going off, getting ready to detonate the building so it could drop, taking out the support beams.
Absolutely. It happens at
any demolition.
If you look at like when they tore down the Wynn or the Stardust from the casino out in Vegas, it went down the same way the towers went down.
Yeah,
same identical thing. And then they say, no, a plane did this.
Nope. There's no way. And I mean, anybody who's a rational thinker, I mean, you don't even have to be the smartest person on the planet. If you just look at it logically.
Right.
There's no way. No way that makes sense to you. It doesn't matter how many times this is the definition of gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people that actually believe that this happened, I mean, I believe the tragedy happened. I believe the disaster happened.
Right.
That is not, but it's the method that they used to create this disaster.
Right.
And they did it to us. And our own government was complicit in doing this.
Well, it's not the first time the government has been complicit to do things like.
No, not at all.
In Cuba, they were trying to get us into war in Cuba. They were thinking about hijacking some bus and like, killing a bunch of people and saying the Cubans did it. And that would have got us to go out to war with Fidel Castro.
Yep.
But for some reason, that didn't happen. Pearl Harbor was an inside job. They knew exactly when the bombs were going to be. I mean, that's confirmed to this day. What else? I mean, the list can go on and on. It kind of reminds me of what we did to the Indians. We were friends with them. And then we gave them all these blankets full of smallpox and everything. And we just wanted their land.
Right.
And so it's kind of something like that.
100% it is.
So what do you think the outcome has been from all this?
The Gulf of Tonkin. That was another one that got us into Vietnam.
Explain that one for the viewers.
For the viewers, Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
It was a, let's see. Get it right. It's where the United States forces were carrying out covert amphibious operations on the North Vietnamese, and they were blaming it on others to get us into it.
Okay.
To get our involvement in Vietnam, because we were trying to stay out of it.
Right, we were trying to stay neutral.
Yep.
It was kind of
the same with World War II, you know? We were staying out of that one.
I agree.
Pearl Harbor hit, and we were in the war.
Yeah. And that they knew exactly if that happened, there would be an outcry of support. And then Americans, have you ever noticed if something happens to this country, we come together, Americans come together and want to fight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they weren't counting on, especially with 9/11. The unity of being an American was so strong, especially after it went down. Oh, I'm a proud American, and everybody hanging up their flags. They counted on that.
Nowadays. They knew that. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that that was the perfect. They use predictive programming. They know exactly what it takes to push people to get the desired reaction that they want. They knew exactly what to do to get us right where they wanted us. We hook, line, and sinker agreed to the Patriot Act.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? We begged for it.
We had that security now, but we gave up all kinds of liberties for it.
They can legally spy on us without warrants. Yeah, they can enter our property without warrants. If they think you're a terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely without going to court because of the Patriot Act.
Well, you got to really read these things because they can't just do this stuff, but it's real easy to classify you as something. It's real easy. I mean, you'd be surprised how loosely they use domestic terror. You know what I mean? They can put that title on anybody basically.
Well,
because it doesn't take very much to be called a domestic terrorist because all you are is
ties into the 9/11 as well.
Ish. Yes. He found out the truth about what was going on with the country, and then he decided he was going to do some rectification for it.
And that's how, right.
But, I mean, that's one version of it. The other version is he was an MK Ultra.
True.
You know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was a
Manchurian candidate?
Well, under MK Ultra,
you can
he
go
was one of the they just used that kind of mind control programming, round him up, send him in there, and let him do his thing. I mean, he was the perfect patsy for it.
Right. We definitely should do an episode on the Oklahoma City bombing because that indirectly ties into all of this. We'll see what you think.
Right.
There's so many, like, all these conspiracies are so convoluted. They're all interconnected.
Well, the problem with 9/11 was that so many people died
for greed.
It was greed. I mean,
it was over greed.
It was greed for some. It was over power control and, you know, the ability to spy on us all by some. It was over a family's, you know, butthurt philosophies, you know, that they wanted to get in there and get their name back, you know. Mm-hmm. But also there were items in Iraq that other power structures wanted control of.
Right.
You know, Iraq is supposedly... you know, had a working Stargate, and whoever has control of those Stargates has control of a lot of things. That's interdimensional travel right there.
Right.
Not to mention all the antiquities that proved where civilization began and where we came from. And the truth behind the Anunnaki. And
yeah, that's exactly right. You're talking about the Anunnaki.
And those who control that kind of stuff control the true power. I mean, greed and family vendettas and things like that, that's minor stuff. But it's when you get into the real things, the beginning of our species, you know?
Right.
Controlling the actual
world.
Controlling the implements that help these interdimensional beings go back and forth, you know?
Right.
That's a pretty profound power to have control of, and to have a working one. And I've heard that it's not the only working one, and there's a few of them in the world.
Where would be another one?
That was an easy one for us to get to, because it was already in a conflict area, so that was easy for us to get to.
Was that in the green zone?
Do what?
Was that in the green zone? I feel like it was. I feel like they made a movie that it was like looking for weapons of mass destruction, and they cleared it. But the reason why they went in there was because of the Stargate.
Oh, well, they've made movies about all kinds of stuff like that. But the only weapons of mass destruction were what was found in these libraries and in these museums. And the true information, you know, because the things that were there could have destroyed religion
and brought it down to his knees.
Religion is the main way to control the population.
Right.
I mean, they've been doing it for a millennia. So if you could topple religions by uncovering what was actually documented in there, you know, physically there, just needing to be shown to people, they're never going to let that out.
You know absolutely what I mean?
There's no way. The churches make too much money and have too much control over people. And can you imagine what would happen to people if they were to find out that, you know, their belief system isn't exactly what they think it is? And I'm not here to argue theology with anybody like that. I mean, believe what you want to. That's a great thing about this world. You can believe anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there are those who believe in that. What is it? The flying spaghetti monster thing. So
you lost me on that. This flying spaghetti monster. What's that?
What are they? Pastafarians?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
We don't know.
Yeah, Pastafarianism, also known as the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm saying
you can believe in whatever you want.
Right,
to,
right.
But if there is proof of the origin, you know, the origination of our species in the Middle East, you know,
they're never going to let that out.
That's not going to be something that is ever going to see the light of day.
Absolutely not.
Not just that's like when they went to Egypt. Every time there's a major archaeological find in Egypt, the governments go in there first.
Right.
And they see what's there before it's allowed to be released to any museum or anywhere like that.
The
Smithsonian is controlled by the government.
And it's very
Have so much stuff that'll never be seen by anybody.
Just like the Vatican does too.
The Vatican's archives are books.
I hear they have a working time machine that they can look into the past. They have goggles that you look in and you can see the past and what happened. And it's at the Vatican. They have things sealed off that they'll never bring up. You know?
I do know what you're talking about.
That came out couple years ago. A whistleblower came out and was like, yeah, there's a working time machine there. I can't remember what it's actually called.
Chronovisor.
Yes.
The chronovisor.
That you could look in the past.
Well, I'm not saying they do and I'm not saying they don't, but if they go through such trouble to debunk and make sure that we don't ever get the chance to see any of these things, you know, it makes me think that maybe there's some truth to it.
So you don't ever think there'll be a time where all this stuff, it just comes out and says, yep, aliens are real. Everything that we've came out and said is a lie. There's people on Mars. Well, we have bases on Mars. All this.
They're working on. I mean, there are some things that are coming out that they have to. It's just getting too hard to control. The way the genie is almost out of the bottle and they can't put it back in. They're starting to have to. Extraterrestrials. They're slowly starting to admit.
They're there. They're real.
They've told us for 100 years that, you know, there's no such thing as aliens. You know, don't believe this. Don't believe that. If they go back and completely say, you know what, hey, we lied to you. This is what we found. This is what's here. They lose all credibility. People will be in an uproar. Right. There's too many people that are too invested in it. You still have a large majority of the public that will believe hook, line, and sinker whatever the government tells them. And even the ones that do question a little bit are still in the back of their mind like, well, no, there's no way they would actually lie to us, you know, because they're our government. They're for us, you know, and we get new people in there. So how could they pop? Because everybody has a way to be controlled. Right. It doesn't matter who you are. If you make it into politics, they've got a way to control you. Right. They're going to find a way to control you. They're going to find some way to gather incriminating evidence or get you in a compromising scenario.
Something. Everybody can be blackmailed.
And you are going to be under their control. And for most people, it's money. There's no way that these people go into public office, you know, barely rubbing two nickels together and coming out multimillionaires. Right. You know what I mean? Because
they're being paid to keep their mouth shut.
Well, not necessarily mouth shut. It's to push whatever line they want. Or it doesn't matter if it's pushing that, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a terroristic operation, and it was buildings were brought down by planes, and Building 7 was brought down by, you know, a piece of paper was on fire and caught the right draft and blew through the window and came down. You know, it started. Who knows?
They can always find
somebody to do that.
What did they say about Building 7 and why it came down?
They obfuscated that one. They never really gave anything.
But people just filled in the blanks and they were like, well, obviously something happened.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed that topic.
It was pushed, but it wasn't pushed on. If it was pushed on like the news or something like that, it was always shifted to another topic real quick. Right. You were always cut off. You were always spoken over, you know. Nothing was ever, the only time it was ever talked about or pushed was through, you know, a conspiracy related show or somebody who was trying to bring upon a different topic or different narrative. Viewpoint. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they would always make that person look crazy because they're just like, this can't be real. This is what the government said has happened. But if you look at the cold hard facts, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and that was the thing with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a lot of very, very good information on these topics. He put in a lot of legwork on it. Problem is, he's a very eccentric person, and he got wrapped up. You know what I mean? He gave him an inch to run on with him being crazy, and it discounted everything all the true things he brought up before. But this guy.
Subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to finish listening to the episode ad-free.